everybody. Welcome to today's Power Up. I'm Trisha.
Today Power Up.
You got it.
Today Power Up. Maud Derrick.
Today Power Up. We're here.
We are going to be talking about what we are currently playing, watching, and reading. I don't know how I found the time, but I have been powering up some. It's been really good, so I'm excited to talk about all those. Hello to everyone who's watching live. Hello to everyone who's watching on the VOD over at Geek Bomb. And hello to those listening to the podcast, all seven or so of you. But we still put it up there if that's how you like to listen. Because this is an off-guest week, we have Amy Cassandra Martinez coming in from Geek Bomb. Power resident herself to talk about all the cool power up as well. We're going to get straight into it.
Let's do it. Amy, welcome back to the show. How have you been?
Thank you so much. I've been, a lot has happened. A lot has happened. And I'm excited to talk about it. There's so much stuff that I need to share with y'all.
Okay, awesome. Well, then why don't you kick it off, Amy? What you playing?
Okay.
That
Friday
looks like
the 13th, the game. What does it look like?
Is that Jason?
Yes.
You called
That's
it.
Big no.
Friday the 13th, the game. Okay, what is this game? When did it come out?
Yeah. I don't know when it came out, but it's been around for a while. I started playing it on the 2nd or 3rd. I started streaming on Twitch with Vega. I've been streaming me playing video games. I started on the 1st of October. Nice. And since then, I've played other games like Dead by Daylight, Blair Witch, and then I experienced the whole not auto-saving thing and losing everything when the console crashes, which was a bummer. Among the Sleep, which you're playing as a toddler and you have to hug a teddy bear to use as a nightlight. It's super weird and gave me motion sickness.
That game is super creepy. I don't know how far you got, but Among the Sleep is way creepy.
I was just annoyed because I was like, come on. Like, it's not as easy. I can't push up on the D-pad to know where I'm supposed to go. Like, I get it. So Friday the 13th, the game, is the one that I've been playing the most. Mm-hmm. It's basically you can play as either the counselor, camp counselor, or Jason. And you don't really get to pick until... Well, you don't pick. It's kind of a surprise. And then you don't find out until the screen like pops up. And then you're like, oh, I guess I'm Jason. Oh, I guess I'm the camp counselor. For counselors, you basically just have to survive. And you have to, there's multiple steps, which is really cool because it tells you what you're supposed to do. And there's, I believe, four other characters that you're playing with. And you're trying to find keys to one of the cars. There's two cars and a boat. And so you're looking for keys. Gas, you're trying to fix a phone thing so you can call the cops, and like a radio thing. It's all these wonderful things that you can try to get. There's a few things that are pretty unfortunate if you're like me and don't understand the game. Like, I didn't know that you couldn't hold the bat and hold the battery for the car. And so I was installing
two hands.
Yeah, you can't. You can't. Because it wouldn't let me pick up both. So I don't know. I know. I'm like, that's not realistic. So I don't know if it's just
that's
me trying
horror.
To. That's not fair. It's not fair. But anyway, I've really been focusing on getting better. I am very excited to announce that I have survived at least twice. We've made it out, which is great.
Well done.
I've played as Jason. Thank you. I've played as Jason twice.
How's that?
It's actually really fun. Kind of frustrating when they're like running around you and you keep falling for the traps. Because for Jason, there's like four options you can do, like find a map and teleport, which is like, well, that's not what happens in the movie, but okay. Then you can run really quickly. So it's just like, whoosh. And then there's something about like.
Oh God, the cat scared me.
Here we are talking about Friday the 13th, and then your cat wanders in.
Hi, baby.
Everything's so dark behind you, and there was this looming shadow. And I'm like, oh, God. We're going to watch every day right now. You can't hold two things. Good luck.
Don't eat my plant. There's a bunch of other things that you can do, and you can see where people are. And it's great, but I fell for this trap multiple times. And I was like, I don't see it. So it's really fun though. And the kills, they mix them up, so it's never the same way. I got decapitated once. That was pretty fun. There was, when I was Jason, I got stabbed in the neck by one of the counselors. Yeah, it's good wholesome stuff, you know?
I love how Amy's smile gets bigger and bigger the more gruesome the thing she is talking about is. She's like, and then I got stabbed in the neck. And it's just, she's so excited. Yes. So for anyone just listening to this, Amy is smiling ear to ear right now. And I love how much you love horror. Amy, have you played Phasmophobia yet?
No, but I saw you streaming, doing the squad stream. I saw, and I'm so jealous. I can't play that game. I only have an Xbox. I don't have a PC.
You would love that game, girl.
I know. It looks so fun. I love how you, like, died, and then you were just, the body was there, and it looks so great. So,
and we actually weren't even playing it. So when you play it with the in-game chat, then it's a distance chat. So you can only hear characters in close proximity to you. So, like, if one of your party members is far away or in a different room, you can't
scream.
Or you hear, like, muffled screaming. Or, and when you're a ghost, you can't talk at all. Like, it's a lot scarier when you use the in-game chat. We were using Discord audio just to try to figure out how to do it, but I need to play that game more for sure. And I want to play it with people that like horror that know what they're doing. Because I've been playing with people that are like, let's just try it. But I think that game is best when there's like four people that are like, dude, I'm going to hunt this ghost. I'm going to identify this ghost. I'm going to get in and out of that haunted house. I'm not scared, because then you go in and get real scared. But it, like, you know, if you're serious about it, I think it'd be more fun.
With Dead by Daylight, I had a hard time at the beginning because you learn how to be both, like the killer and the victim, I guess. And with the killer, things got very vicious very quickly. And I was like, whoa. And so it kind of takes you a little while to get used to it, because I'm not used to having that perspective. Like, it's the beginning of Halloween, like that. But it was strange. And then after that, I was like, okay, I'm the killer. And these are bad people. So let's take care of business, you know? Like, you have to get into that weird mindset, and then it's like, fine, let's get it done. Where are they? And then you're fully immersed in the game. So that's what ended up happening with Friday the 13th as well. It's like, these camp counselors, they gotta go. So
yeah, when you were talking about Friday the 13th, it reminded me of Dead by Daylight, just in the way you were describing it. Do you feel like the games are slightly similar?
Yeah, what's a bummer for me is running into things when I'm trying to move quickly, and Dead by Daylight has that a lot. I feel like Friday the 13th, you can move around, it's a little bit more open world maybe, you're not going to run into trees as quickly. With Dead by Daylight, there's a lot of stuff that I feel it's a little claustrophobic-y. That was also one of the first games I played this month, so I'm like, maybe I'll be better. But it was really hard, and to hang people up
on the hooks,
on the hook.
Yeah, it's rough.
Yeah.
Why do you have to do that?
Well, because you're either the murderer, and then you do that, or you're trying to live. You're trying to survive.
I realized, as you guys were talking that whole time, I had no questions. Zero. <I know. laughs> And I will to learn more.
Maud, are you a Halloween person? Are you getting in the spoopy season?
No.
At all?
Well, I might be hosting a Halloween night that everyone is invited to on Twitch for people that want to dress up and get spoopy.
Fun.
But I will host it. But Halloween was never a really huge thing in Australia. Like, we actually told kids to not accept candy from strangers, except for that one night where you dress up and accept candy from all the strangers. It's not really massive. I think it started to get massive because all the girls were like, what do you mean we can be sluts for the night? No.
That's like the high school / college rite of passage.
Australia sounds boring. No, we're not boring. We're just alive. I don't really have much interest in horror.
Okay. That's fair. I love the Halloween season. I like dressing up. I like spooky stuff that's not... But for me, I like subtle and that fun spooky. range, less, or I should say more so than the, like, your eyeball just popped out of your face and now there's blood spewing everywhere. Yeah. Once you cross a certain gore line, I'm like, oh, gotta tap out.
There's a couple of dragons in my neighborhood, and that's the kind of Halloween I can get around.
Yeah. We tried dragon. To order a dragon that let smoke come out its nostrils, and by the time we went to order it, it was all sold out, and I'm so bummed. And I'm wondering, Felicia Day put up an Instagram post today with one of those dragons in the background. I'm like, did you get that dragon? How did you get it? It was sold out when I tried to get it. Oh. All right.
See, I'm about it all.
I love it. Maude, what are you playing? I know you and I are playing one thing that's the same.
We are. I also, like Amy, I've got about a 6-week head start. I have been Twitch streaming and playing more video games via Twitch because I've got new technologies and I'm enjoying more PC-esque type gaming because I was purely console before.
Well, and shout out Alienware Hive, right? Isn't that where you got a lot of your tech from?
Alienware sent me a computer last year, and it took me a chunk of time to kind of figure it out and slowly get back into PC world. And now that I'm getting more confidence in it, it's kind of getting exciting for me. So, I've been streaming. I stream RPGs and fun games. Like Age of Empires is a big one.
Age of Empires is a great game.
Age of Empires was like my early teen years, I feel. When that first came out, I was like, this is so cool. And like my brothers would play more of like the Command and Conquer, which I didn't mind. I am a mechanical man. But I really like the Age of Empires side of things because it's a song. It's track number 6 on the Command and Conquer soundtrack. That's mechanical. It's cool. It was the best song. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay.
Age of Empires was great because the music was fantastic. I really liked the gameplay and I loved like the civilization aspect, you know, mm-hmm. like you are playing real historical kind of civilizations. And ancient history was one of my favorite subjects at school. And I kind of loved that I was playing what I was learning and mm-hmm. that overlap. Ah, it was a lot of fun. So I played Age of Empires. UAS is saying Age of Empires cheats are also the best. And I was like, I will not cheat just yet.
Apparently there's a machine gun car cheat.
Yeah, I remember that. That's bringing back memories. I played it. I had a really good session the other night. I beat the first round the first time. Like, it was kind of easy. No, guys, I didn't do the tutorial, and I got killed absolutely obliterated twice before I was able to progress to the next round, and it was sad, and I was embarrassed that everyone was watching. But, yeah, I've been playing Age of Empires, which is fantastic. I want to get mm-hmm. stuck into that more. But then Baldur's Gate 3 came out.
Baldur's Gate 3!
I previously played the Baldur's Gate series. I actually have it on the Switch. It was just a bit clunky, though, for my liking. And this game's a little clunky, too. But I have done a character build. The moderator is a half-elf rogue.
Okay.
I tried to get her to look as close to me as possible, but the character design, I think I got 4 faces to choose from. So I just chose a face, and I ran with it.
Great.
But I really like Baldur's Gate. That's been a lot of fun. I set off traps and I die. Fire kills me all the time. And the autosave doesn't kick in nearly as often as I'd hoped. But I think I've played Baldur's Gate like twice this week already, 3 times without streaming. But yeah, I dig it. It's my kind of game because it's like playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, it is, and it's made by Wizards of the Coast and Larian. So it is 100% D&D 5e rule set. Mm-hmm. I played a little bit of Baldur's Gate, not as much as I would like up until this point. But my original plan was to dive into Baldur's Gate this weekend. Probably starting tomorrow on stream and on Sunday for sure. And then I got a text from my good buddy Lasercorn, who was like, yo, you want to squad stream some Baldur's Gate 3 multiplayer later today? And it was going to be Lasercorn and Joven. And I was like, yes, I do. Because I was dying to get hands on it. But, you know, work gets in the way and you have to prioritize work sometimes over video games, which stinks. But anyway, so I was like, wait, when are you playing? Yes, I can totally squeeze it in. So I like hurried up my work thing so I could squeeze in some Baldur's Gate 3. And it turned out that Joven hadn't started the download early enough. So he was not downloaded in time to stream with us. So it was just Lasercorn and I. But he made a server lobby. And he was the only server lobby. This was on Tuesday. So I was like, are we the only people playing multiplayer Baldur's Gate 3 today? And I think we were. So he started a lobby, and when I went to look at lobbies, his was the only one in there. So I was like, cool, no one else is trying this. Let's be the ones to try it. So we went in, and we both created characters at the same time. And then we went in, and it put us on, like, the cinematics at the same time and everything like that. And then so we were playing multiplayer quite a bit. And then we got to our first combat, and we're trying to figure out how combat in this system works in a multiplayer way. And I think Lasercorn was sure that he was frozen, but I think it just wasn't his character's turn yet. But then he tried to manually save because he was like, I'm just going to save it and back out and come back in because he was sure he was frozen. So when he went to manually save it, he got the spinning wheel of death that just kept going. So then he was like, all right, I'm just backing out. But because it was his server lobby, it closed us both out of it. And then when we went to go back in, it started us a character creation again.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. So at that point, we were like, okay, well, we're not going to start all over on stream now. So it was like a nice little toe in the water trial run to Baldur's Gate 3. But I think when I stream it tomorrow, I'm going to stream it just me so that I can figure out how combat works and create a character and save my file and all that kind of stuff before I try to squad up and play a multiplayer.
How did you know that was going to be my first question?
What?
Can we play together?
Yes!
What's your character? Cleric? Wizard?
You mean my character that died? That's no longer in existence?
Are you going to remake her, though?
I don't know. I had made a, what did they call it? Mephistophical, or I forget the name of it, but the tiefling that worships Mephistopheles, came from. So I was that kind of tiefling, and I was, what did we settle on? A warlock? I think I was a tiefling warlock.
That's fun.
And her name was Lady O'Mara.
Oh, I like all of this.
Right? I was into it, and then she got deleted from existence, and I was bummed out.
Good question, STS. Did you have to make a love interest as well? Someone in a purple robe where their nipple was out?
So, okay, Lasercoin and I never figured out what that was. We just guessed it. We were making our love interests.
Yeah.
That's what it is?
I made some turbo babe who had a great nipple poking out of his purple robe.
I made the sexiest githyanki you'll ever see.
You made a what?
A githyanki, a female githyanki, and she was spicy.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, I was into it. Like, Lasercoin and I were both like, are we making our muse? Are we making this?
I have no idea.
Nobody knows.
I was like, cool, I'm single AF, and I'm going to date this fake, not real, not even touchable character, and that will have to do today.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, it looked awesome. The entire game looked fantastic. And I'm super excited to dive into it. And I know they've already released one patch since I was playing it on Tuesday. So I don't. And I know that in that patch, they did say they were addressing some issues with multiplayer. So maybe we'll see. But yeah, so I want to. I'm very excited to dive back into it. How many hours in are you so far, Maud?
2.5, 3. Okay. 4, 3. But I've had to restart a couple of times and lost a lot of gameplay. But then I also snuck in a cheeky hour. And I did, honestly, like, I've had 3 attempts to do this one portion of the game to get through the ruins. Mm-hmm. And I have managed to find 3 different ways to do it.
Cool.
Yeah, that's what's really, really cool about it. Like, every single time I try again, I just explore a new area. It's not linear in that particular way. It is explorative. I don't like WASD for movement.
Yeah, it's a click and drag.
I'll explain that for you, Amy. So on the keyboard, W, A, S, D are in that kind of like hand movement on the keyboard, and that's usually up, left, back, right. So you can move around the keys just using that. Instead, you have to click the mouse to where you want to walk or hold it down and drag it like through.
Which it's much more old school RPGs. So, like, original Baldur's Gates, original Diablo, etc. Like, Diablo was always a click and drag until they ported it over to Switch. When they ported it to console, which the first one was Xbox. But because with one of these, you can't have a click and drag. So you actually have to completely redesign the game to make it so that when you push a direction, they go that direction, as opposed to click and then having the character move there. So it's a very old school RPG design. As someone who was an old school RPG gamer and like loved the OG Baldur's Gates, I'm thrilled with it. But I can see how if you're not used to that, that could seem a little bizarre. But honestly, if they're going to release it on console eventually, they're going to have to do that anyway for controllers.
I wish there was a choice. I wish you could choose whether to do it or not. I think the reason why gaming has evolved for WASD is for that particular reason. It's just easier to manage. I would rather use my clicks for like the interactions. So I want to loot there. I want to open that chest, you know, so like leave it for that. I think that that would be better. I'm also having a couple of, they're kind of like my main clunky issues. My frame rate dropped real bad last night. And then combat is, it's like D&D, it's so slow. So it's like really not a quick combat
moment. It's like D&D, it's all the D&D 5e rule set. That's why you're playing.
Which is cool when there's five people around the table and they're like, I want to do this. You're like, yeah, you do. But in this one, it's just like, there's three goblins. They should be dead by now. And we've been at this for 15 minutes.
I love it. I love it so much.
I have no patience, Trish. You know this. And you can't skip dialogue. It's so arduous.
Nope. You're there. You are there for the lore.
But I was like, this is the third time that I've had to crash the ship because, you know, the whatever. Like, I had to play it a couple
of
times.
Yeah, you can skip cutscenes if that's what you're talking about.
No.
Escape.
Didn't work for me. I tried.
Like, the big cutscene in the beginning, because I know when Lasercorn and I launched back into it, if you hit escape, it takes you immediately to the character creation screen. You don't have to watch the whole beginning.
Nathan makes a really good point. When I do have those long cutscenes that I can't skip through or dialogue, I have an ice cream break instead. And that works.
Good point. Good point. Yeah, the other thing that I've been playing besides Baldur's Gate 3 is I started Spiritfarer, which...
I've been watching a lot of your streams.
Have you?
Yeah.
I see you in chat sometimes. In. It always makes me so happy.
Aww. Which one's this one though? Because I've seen a couple of the like little platform kind of game look like a puzzle.
Oh, I think you dropped in on a gong show, which means there's like six or seven games in one stream. Yeah. But Spiritfarer is an indie game from Thunder Lotus that is available on Game Pass if anyone wants to check it out. But it is a cozy management game about dying. It's actually super wholesome and lovely and cute, and it helps people deal with loss.
Okay.
So it's a very cathartic emotional game where you, at least as far as I am in the game, and this is not really spoilers, is you start the game acknowledging that you're going to be the new spirit farer. So you're the one who ferries spirits from this world to wherever they go after this.
And so, if they've got coins on their eyes,
it's not that involved in mythology. So there's no river sticks that I know of yet. There's no coins on the eyes, but anyway, you pick up spirits, and they seem to be in animal form. And then through talking to them, I'm slowly realizing that they are people that I had a relationship with, or my character had a relationship with in life, and figuring out who everybody is. And I haven't gotten to this part in the game yet, but I know that I will eventually get to the point in the game where it's time to help that spirit move on. And people who've played it said, get your tissue box ready. Like, you are going to cry your eyeballs out. And my chat lovingly told me that Trisha likes games that make you cry, which I was like, do I? And then apparently there are multiple clips of me crying at video games on my Twitch channel. So, guilty as charged, Trisha likes games that make you cry. And I think that's because as, like, a theater kid and as a drama kid, like, I crave that catharsis. Like, I want that story that takes me on an emotional journey. That's what I'm in this for. So when I get to those kind of stories, STS says it's a mom thing, but this existed way before momming. When I get to those parts in stories, like, to me, I feel like I've gotten so much value out of that thing. So normally the games that you see at the Game Awards nominated for Games for Impact is like, Games for Impact is like the industry lingo for get out your tissue box. Because usually they have some kind of big social message. Usually they have some kind of, they're dealing with very weighty issues. There's a lot going on there. But those are the games that I really feel like I enjoy and the games that I think, you know, like when you watch a movie and you're like, I've been thinking about it for days since I've seen it. When you finish a game and you're like, I cannot stop thinking about what happened in this game. Those are the games for me that I'm like, that make my top tier. So Spiritfarer, when I do get around to finishing it, will probably be one of those games.
Heavy Rain was that for me, where it was like, oh, mm-hmm. whoa. And then Bioshock Infinite, I had to like sit with that, those feelings for ages. I like games where I think it's like old school war. So it's like Age of Empires and Baldur's Gate and all these kind of things where it's like magical and mythological and overall the messaging is dominance. I like to dominate.
Is it dominance or is it escapism? Or both?
I mean, I'm dominating in my life.
Yep, a chat says Heavy Rain was a heavy game. Life is Strange was also a gut punch of sadness. Agreed.
I think in the after show, I'm on Power Down, we should talk about sort of more death. We should talk about death.
In like a sad way or a Amy excited Halloween way or...
Split the diff, yeah. I got questions about death.
Okay. In Power Down, we will answer Maud's questions about death. But for now, we will move on to the watching segment of this show. Yay, Maud, what are you watching?
I can't recall. Ah, there I am, top right, left, if you are looking at the show. I am watching Fargo. So Fargo, this is season 4 of the series now, and I'm only one episode in. So I'm taking my time with it for the moment. But I have loved this anthology-esque type series. It is based on the Coen Brothers movie Fargo, starring, oh my God, her name is escaping me. It is not France. It is Frances McDormand. And, you know, I think she won an Academy Award for her role in that movie. Usually when you make a TV spin-off over from a movie, it's like destined to fail. It's like not something that really necessarily works. This is possibly the exception and not the rule, but it is so damn good. So every single season has a whole new cast in usually a whole different time explaining a whole new story. The first one starred Martin Freeman as a businessman, and it's those scenarios where one thing happens and then his bad luck snowballs. And so even if he'd just told, you know, the truth in the first instance where there was like a manslaughter-esque type scenario, tried to cover it up, which makes everything even worse. When people kind of cotton in on that, he's got to take care of that for the witnesses and all that kind of stuff. And so it's like one of those real anxiety ridden kind of shows where you're just like, oh my God, it just keeps getting worse. But because it's Martin Freeman, he's so great. He's so amazing. And so I really like that season. The next season, it's Carrie Coon. And you may know Carrie Coon. She's kind of in a lot of things, but I really like her from The Leftovers. She is a cop, and again, they're all around like Minnesota or an area of America that I'm very unfamiliar with, but they all have that kind of accent. So it's like Arkansas, maybe wherever they, where's the top north? Dakota? North? No, I don't know. Not my country.
Montana?
Maybe.
No, Fargo. Maybe. Fargo, isn't it North Dakota?
Maybe.
Midwestern Maybe. Accents, yes. Okay, Brad Fargo. Tracks in chat says Fargo, North Dakota.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, totally. I don't know why I didn't get it, but okay. The second one, yeah, it follows these two cops. And again, it's like a whodunit murder mystery, but I think it involves sort of like the mafia and crime lords. And so it's like, yes, the cops trying to just get to the bottom of it, but there's a corrupt system in place, all of that. The third season was Kirsten Dunst?
Kirsten.
Kirsten. Throw Kirsten into the mix of five names it could be at any one
Kirsten
time.
Kirsten Dunst, yeah.
Kirsten. God damn it. Sorry, if you have one of those five names, I will never get it. But Kirsten Dunst is with her now husband, Jesse Plemons, and they are a married couple, and it's the same sort of thing where an accident happens and it snowballs, but it's just a really great storytelling. It's really well shot. It's got that Coen Brothers-esque vibe behind it all. Season 4 is Chris Rock. like you've never seen him before. So he is the one of the main figures in a gang. I think it's around the 50s in one of those small towns. So it's kind of talking about how there were always two big mafia families. It used to be sort of the Irish versus the Italians, and then it was the Irish versus the Jews, and then it was the Jews versus the Italians, and now it's the Italians versus the blacks. So the black community have come in a big way. Chris Rock is like the head of the family. But what they do to keep peace between the two feuding sides is that they exchange the youngest boy of the family. So that young boy is raised in the opposite families, and that's like their sign of unity, even though it never really works. But I have been really, really enjoying this show so far. I think it's always well shot, and it's like so refreshing each season. And I like that. As you know, with Dungeons and Flagons, it's different cast every single time. But it's the same kind of concept. And so you get a good run, and then it's like, that was cool. What's next? Right. So Falco is really, really good like that. I really love the writing. And the standouts this time around, Jason Schwartzman is in it. And he's a lot of fun. I think he's like an Italian mafia mobster in this one too. So even though I'm one ep in, I want to take this time to talk about all the previous seasons, and everyone should watch Fargo.
Okay, good plug. I love it. I love it. I, since Jovan was on the show so passionately talking about Cobra Kai, I was like, well, now I need to watch Cobra Kai. And I totally binged it, and I just finished all of it.
Is it so good?
It's so good. Have you seen it, Maude?
Nah, still haven't seen it.
Oh, Amy?
Me neither.
No. Okay, well, Jovan was not overselling it. It's amazing. It is very bingeable. The episodes are pretty short. The acting in it's great. The callbacks to the original Karate Kid and just that whole period in time are wonderful. I really like the humor in it. And exactly what Jovan said before that I'm going to repeat, they kill the cliffhangers. The cliffhangers are so well done, which I think is why it's so bingeable, because you finish an episode, and then you're like, well, I mean, I have to, the next one's only 20 minutes long. I have to watch, I need to know what happens. So you get caught in it. But I really enjoyed it. And the cliffhanger they left it on at the end of this last season, I'm like, ooh, they better make more of these. I need to know. It's good.
How long did it take to binge?
It's two seasons.
How long did that take, though, to watch it all?
I only get to watch TV for about an hour, hour and a half a night before I pass out. So it took us, I don't know, when was Jovan on? 2 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
That's how long it took me. But I wasn't watching it every single night either. So you could probably get through it in a week. Okay. Yeah. You could probably get through it really quick if you watch a lot of TV. Third and fourth seasons are confirmed, says Sprinkles the Dragon Cat. I'm very excited.
That's Monday.
Yeah, I'm very excited. It's very good. Highly recommend if you haven't seen it. And then, also based on a power-up recommendation, I started watching Schitt's Creek.
Mm.
And it's good. I like it.
The first season takes a little bit to get through. You have to get over this hump.
Okay. I think I'm still getting over the hump. I have to watch this every day, but it's like a, oh, there's nothing else I really want to watch right now. Let's watch a Schitt's Creek episode.
And it's fun, and it's a palate cleanser, and you know what you're in for, which I really like. I think the first, I don't want to be quoted on this, but I'm pretty sure the first season's like 63% on Rotten Tomatoes, and then it's 100 consecutively after that every single season.
Oh, good. So I'm still in season one, but...
So am I, to be honest, because that hump is a... Like, Moira, the Catherine O'Hara's character, who, they're all Emmy Award winning now. They all swept up at the Emmys. It was like the shit show. But Catherine O'Hara's Moira Rose character was a real struggle for me to kind of digest initially, because she's so over the top, you know, yo, David, you know, she's got a very distinct sort of way that she talks.
Oh, I think she's hilarious.
Dream. And for that, I was just like, ah. But now I'm like, oh, I can't get enough of it. Go even harder, lean more into it. So... I think the show is really well done. There is a personal attachment with the show that isn't fun for me.
Oh.
But I'm going to get through that. Yeah, I'm just piling up Schitt's Creek, so it's okay.
Okay, I'll you know, it. Like you do. Amy, what you watching?
I am so excited to talk about this movie. I am watching a crap ton of other ones, but This one's super good. Super good. If you guys like Black Mirror, if you like Blumhouse movies, and if you like, I guess Sorry for Your Loss, if you guys saw that on Facebook, watch. I was going to say Scarlett Johansson. What's her name? Elizabeth Olsen was also in Sorry for Your Loss. It was small, but very well loved, that show. The movie I'm talking about is Black Box, and I almost said Bird Box, but it's definitely Black Box. I keep thinking Bird Box. It's not. Basically, it stars, let me get their names. It's Mamadou Athi, who plays Nolan. He's the one from Sorry for Your Loss. And this young girl, also, I mean, Felicia Rashad from The Cosby Show, throwback. But this young girl, Amanda Crispin, this girl is maybe 6 years old and she kills it. So the premise is, it starts off with this guy, he's a dad, and you see this young girl, his daughter, and she's basically trying to take care of him because he's lost his memory. 6 months ago, him and his wife got in a car crash and she died and he lost his memory. He was in a coma, he was brain dead, he came back to life. He ends up being part of this kind of like a research study thing, and he has to wear this little tiny cap that looks very Black Mirror-y. Mm-hmm. So if you've seen stills and stuff like that, that's what it makes me think of. And he basically, some people have been comparing it a little bit to Get Out, and I can see why a little bit, but not really, because it touches on way other different kinds of things. And it's really,
that part of Get Out.
What?
That part of Get Out.
I think everyone should watch it, is what I'll say. And I think there are so many layers to it that when you start figuring out, you're like, okay. Then there's a little bit more. It's like a nice little onion that won't make you cry.
Okay.
Onions make you cry. But yeah, I think this, because I thought this was originally going to be an actual like horror film. It definitely is way more digestible than a normal horror film than you would think of. It's more sci-fi-y, Black Box.
Okay.
Because
I love Black Mirror, but I can't do like traditional horror.
I think you could handle this one. I think this one would be okay. There's certain moments where you're like, but it's not necessarily like scary jump scares.
Amy, I can't even handle your Mike Myers pillow that is next to you on the couch. Like, that's how much I can't handle.
It's not a pillow. It's a straight up.
What is? Oh, it's his face. Yeah, it's been looming in the side of this shot, this whole show.
And
it's just like lurking in the shadow.
Hello. Hi.
I don't like it.
That's Amy's boyfriend.
Do you want me to put it closer? Is this?
They're going to prom together.
Hey,
you make a beautiful couple.
So I highly recommend it.
I don't think they're rating very well at the moment, though.
I mean, here's my thing with ratings that I don't always pay attention to them, because I think it's also when you sit down and you watch something, sometimes that experience will be like, yeah, you know what, that was really good, and you'll watch it again, you're like, whoa, that was actually crap. Or you'll watch it once and you're just not in the right headspace. Mm-hmm. So I take ratings with a grain of salt. I view it of like, okay, do you like Black Mirror? Yeah. Okay. Then I think you'll like this. Do you like Get Out? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you'll like it.
Almost like you should have a show on Geek Bump called If You Like, where all you do is talk about really popular things and saying if you like that, you recommend other shows and movies. God.
If only people could go to our Geek Bomb YouTube channel and watch the two episodes that I would supposedly have done if I did that.
If maybe that was a thing that happened.
You know?
What world we would be in.
You know,
but I guess we can all wish.
Yeah, but I highly do recommend. I would say ignore the ratings on this one if people are bashing it. Watch it for yourself, because it is a good watch. It's a really good watch, and it's an hour 40, so look, it's not even 2 hours, you know.
Okay.
I nearly finished Enola Holmes the other night. Nearly.
I still haven't
started. Is this
started
the third sitting?
Yeah.
Did you fall asleep? Is that why?
I don't know. I think you have to be, I don't know. That's bad, isn't
it? The wrong headspace.
Yeah.
I liked it, but it's certainly like, there's different kinds of movies, right? I think Enola Holmes is like an early afternoon kind of movie.
It is. Cookie and crumpets.
You guys are hilarious. I have, the only reason I haven't watched it yet is because it's a full movie. And like, yeah. I sit down to watch, so like, we get little man to bed, right? And then we sit down to watch TV and normally are both passed out by about 10. So we have from like 8:30 to 10. And so we're like, movie? There's not really time for that. So we'll squeeze in a couple TV show episodes. Movies are weekends exclusively where we're like, ooh, we can stay up late. I mean, little dude's still waking us up at 6:30 in the morning, regardless of whether it's the weekday or the weekend. Yes, Amy, that's why we fall asleep so fast. Because we get a little dude that comes in our room, opens and slams his door, opens and slams our door, then comes in right over next to my bed and peers over the mattress and goes, good morning, Mama!
Oh my God, that's scary.
That's how I wake up every morning. So yeah, needless to say, like, no matter how good the movie is, if it's past 9:30 at night, I'm like, yeah, this is really, really good. I'm totally paying attention. So yeah.
I went up to my dog stretching from a beautiful night. Like, he'll let me sleep in. Like, it's 8:30. She kind of does that as well, though. But she'll take a big stretch, but her butt is facing me. So she's downward into my face. And I'm like, this isn't how I like to start my day. But then she'll go after it.
That's love.
Yeah. It's my butt. And I'm like, good morning. It's a new day. It's a butthole. Anyway, there you go.
There you go. And that perfectly wraps up the watching segment of today's show. So let's move in to reading. And I'll get mine out of the way first because it's very quick. I have been researching all of the local measures on my ballot for the November 3rd election. If anyone is watching this from the U.S., please, please, please research and cast your vote and cast your vote early so that you know that it gets counted. There's ballot tracks. There's a lot of different ways to track to make sure that your ballot gets where it needs to be. But yes, I have been trying. I really enjoy the local portion of elections because those are the things that can directly impact my everyday life in a very real way. And that's decided by a very small amount of voters. So for people who feel like, oh, my vote doesn't matter, it's just going to get lost in the pile somewhere. For local and state elections, for sure it does matter. Like Maud and Amy, you guys live in different parts of LA County than me, and we have different ballots. We have different things.
I can't vote.
Oh, Maud can't vote.
Why I love that you're talking about this, because every time you tweet or put it out, I'm always resharing it and retweeting it as well, because it's like, guys, you got to vote for me.
No.
Because I cannot, and it has massive implications on whether I'm allowed to stay in this country or not.
Important. So yes, yes, yes. Important.
If I love Trump, then you hate me because he denied my last green card.
I feel like regardless of what your beliefs are and what you're going to vote, it matters so much to go ahead and vote. Research the issues, vote with your heart, do what you got to do. And I really believe, like, one of my friends was asking me, like, you're encouraging people to vote even if they disagree with you? And I'm like, yes, because then at least if America is in the situation it's in, but we know that it's because most of the country actually voted for that, that's right. A lot more of a realistic outcome than less than 30% of the country wanted this, and now it's on everybody. So vote, vote, vote. Get out there. Do your thing. And like I said, the local and state really matter. And research them. It's kind of fun. Like here in California, we have Voters Edge. So I go to votersedge.com and put in my zip code, and it gives me my ballot line by line. And I can compare all the candidates, and I can compare the arguments on the different propositions and who's giving money to which one and which organizations endorse which one and what their prior background is. And you can like really sit there and do the research on everybody. I vote at home with a mail-in ballot, because that's the way California's done stuff forever. It's not a new thing here. So I can sit there with my laptop researching one at a time and going and researching and going and researching and going. But that's what I have been spending all my time reading, because I really like getting into the nitty gritty of that. So that's my PSA. I know that's not a like fun fiction RPG like we normally talk about, but I do think it's important. So please go ahead and vote.
Jeez, Jeffles, absolutely emulating my sentiments. Imagine if Australia had that kind of website too. We have to do the hard research. Ugh, we don't have like that kind of information available. But you know what we do have, and imagine this, voting is mandatory. You get fined if you don't vote.
What?
That's what we have. If you're a part of a democracy, you know, it's not like, oh, a vote is a privilege. It's a vote is your right. You know, democracy, to cast who you believe is the best candidate. And I'm a little bit nervous because I moved country 7.5 years ago. And I think I was still supposed to mail in back home for the votes. And I just was like, well, I don't live there, so I guess I'm not going to do it. And I have a feeling that I have a fine that is accumulating and accruing interest Ooh. At an exponential rate. And I'll go home and all my credit will be damaged. Democracy.
Yes.
Wow.
I have never once been eligible to vote in Australia, so I cannot comment on that. But I will 100% take your word for it.
But if you could, you would.
It's true.
That's true.
It's true. All right, what's everybody else reading?
I feel like mine ties in perfectly. So I'll start. I started reading a comic for, I guess, the second, third time. So this is America Chavez. She's an LGBTQ Latinx character. She is so freaking cool. I feel like it was... Wow, we've been doing this show for 6 months. Did I make that up?
27 episodes.
Mm-hmm. So,
episode
24. Yeah, around 6 months. And it feels like closer to the beginning of the show, someone asked, you know, like, who would you guys like to play in the comic world? And I remember trying to figure out what Latinx characters existed. Like, who were they? And the first one that popped into my mind was America Chavez. Reading more about her, I'm like, no, I should not play her because I am straight. I'm really straight. But it was really exciting to get to read something where I can identify with some parts and then I'm learning about the other ones. And it's That's really, cool. really cool. So with that being said, I wanted to read a little tiny portion.
Yes.
This is all, I've been reading it through Marvel Unlimited. I believe is what it's called. Yes, Unlimited. So it's been really fun to actually like tap on things and do that. For someone that is not a big reader, this is great. But I am becoming a reader, so I guess it works out. So this is a little bit of, she's basically just very in tune with her ancestors, and she does feel pretty alone, but she feels really tied to them and she feels their power. So here's something. Centering yourself in the chaos requires blocking out distraction. It means that you honor and trust your instincts. This is no easy task. There are times when the entire universe splits itself open to keep us from that level of focus. And as it splits, know that you too are the universe. You have the power to pull yourself back together, to be reborn, and to alter the destiny of everything around you. So she uses these portals in the universe to jump through different points in time. She's also really strong, and yeah, I mean, I love that message. Even you can just see like how cool this is. Kate Bishop, you can't see her, that's slightly better. Anyway, it's really cool because she has a lot of cameos, and there's a lot, the way that it's written, it's so homey and familiar to me. I don't know how many people will recognize this, but there's this special little ointment, I guess, that Mexicans love. And I know it's not just Mexicans, it's Latinx people. It's called Vicks Vapor Rub.
Oh, we have Vicks Vapor Rub.
Everybody knows Vicks Vapor Rub.
Yeah? Okay, so Mexican thing. So, well, wait, because we use it for everything, and we don't say Vicks Vapor Rub. We say Vicks Vaporub. And that's exactly how they wrote it. And reading it, I was like, wait a second, you wrote it how we say it. You know, because we don't pronounce every single letter when we say it. It's like, oh, put Vicks Vaporub. That's it. Vaporub. Which I don't even understand how we got to it, but it's okay. And it's just like little bits of that that make you feel like, oh, this is like home. And I love it so much. I love her sass. I love that at one point she prays to Selena, like, like Selena. Mm-hmm. And it's just all these little tidbits that I feel like a lot of people that our Latinx would really enjoy it. And if you're not, then welcome. Welcome to our world and welcome to like a little piece of home. And it's so cool. So I read volume one, which is issues 1 through 6. And I really loved it. And it moves quickly because sometimes I feel a little like, I don't know about comics, but mm-hmm. I think they do a really good job and it's great. So, yeah.
Awesome. Cool. I love that. Really quick, before we move on to Maude's reading suggestion, Amy, I want to know, did you see the trailer for Spider-Man Miles Morales PS5, the most recent one?
I don't know about the most recent one. I have seen previous ones, but I don't have a PS5. But Miles is in this. Miles makes an appearance.
Nice. The reason I ask is because there were a lot of Latinx creators and streamers that had a very strong emotional reaction to things shown in the last PS5 Spider-Man Miles Morales trailer. And I think you should watch it. Maybe after the show, Google it and check it out because I think it would make your heart happy.
Oh, thank you. That makes you cry.
I do like things that make you cry. That is true in general. Really? I should just have that disclaimer on like everything on my Twitch channel that Trisha likes games that make you cry, although there was one game that went too far in my life that I would not recommend to people. Well, it's one of those, like you know how some movies you're like, everyone should watch it once, but it's not going to be one that you want to repeat watch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a game like that, and I love games that make you cry. Can we talk about it in Power Down? Yes, we'll talk about it in Power Down. That's a great idea. Okay, Maude, what you reading?
His Majesty's Dragon by Naomi Novik. This is the next 3 weeks Nerdist Book Club book that we are reading. So we're doing 4 chapters a pop. I am listening to it on audiobook and it is ruining it for me because the narrator has narrated about 4 or 5 other books that I've listened to, one of them quite recently. And so having the same kind of like narrator with the very same style and the same voice characters over a different book is making it really hard for me to retain or to visualize or to have a unique kind of world or space for these words. And so I've ordered the books because it's apparently one of about 9 in the series. I am going to read you the blurb. Heroic combat brings a thrilling new dimension to the Napoleonic Wars as valiant warriors ride mighty fighting dragons bred for size or speed. When HMS Reliant captures a French frigate and seizes the precious cargo, an unhatched dragon egg, fate sweeps Captain Will Lawrence from his seafaring life into an uncertain future and an unexpected kinship with a most extraordinary creature. Thrust into the rarefied world of the aerial corps, as master of the dragon Temeraire, he will face a crash course in the daring tactics of airborne battle. For as France's own dragonborn forces rally to breach British soil, in Bonaparte's boldest gambit, Lawrence and Temeraire must soar into their own baptism of fire. So Trish, you were actually mentioned in the chat during this book discussion because you love dragon riders.
I do.
Your community is called the Dragon Riders.
It's true.
In this book series, Temeraire is the dragon and Lawrence is the rider.
I love it.
That would interest you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are so many wonderful fantasy literature pieces out there that feature humans riding dragons or warriors of some type riding dragons. And I am all about it. All about it. If dragons exist, I would much prefer to be on the side of friendly to said dragon than someone who is constantly getting scorched by dragons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear that. Mm-hmm. In this instance, and there's been a couple of people that had no problem with it. Oh, actually, most people didn't have a problem with it. A couple did. When the egg of the dragon hatches, the dragon is able to communicate using English straight away.
Telepathically, though, or... Oh.
It says,
I'm like, hello. Some dragons have telepathy, so, and that can be in whatever, you know, language the other person speaks, so I'd be down with that, but...
Dragon, I know them all. I've read a lot of the dragon books, but in this one, it's like, oh, hello, I'm hungry. What will you name me? And it's like, all right, so it can understand English, but it was captured off a French ship, and it's actually a Chinese dragon. So, what? But if you suspend the disbelief on that, everyone's loving the book. Everyone's loving the book.
Adam Tillos in chat says, the next reading assignment explains a bit of the language thing. So maybe that's just ahead? A wait and see.
Oh, is someone reading ahead, are they? Someone, we were supposed to talk about the first four chapters and someone's like, I'm already on book three. People are loving this series.
That's great.
Yeah, but then I've also been bombarded on Twitter a little bit, which is totally awesome, which I understand why. And that is the author's use of dreadlocks being very perceived in a negative way.
Got it.
You know, like almost weaponized dreadlocks. And it's just another reason why, you know, they are symbolic in a lot of fiction of being dirty or insects crawl into them.
When was this book written? Do you know?
2006.
Oh, so relatively recently. It's not like when you look at like Lord of the Rings and you're like, well, you know,
this is racist. Yeah.
This is real not cool, but at least it was written a long time ago before they knew better, we could say, maybe. I mean, it's real sexist, but you know.
But as far as I'm concerned, like with the book, it's a lot of fun. It's definitely sort of like navy and aerial battles. It's alternate history, so it's the Napoleon Wars, but what if they had dragons, you know? So that's kind of really cool. And the relationship between the dragon and the dragon rider is really, really sweet. Rachel from book club is like getting all the warm and fuzzies over it. She loves it. And I just want to get there. So
awesome.
Hopefully I will.
Yeah. Yay. All right. So that was our PW&R. Now it is time for some Bombs Away Q&A. So Amy has collected some questions, I believe. Yes.
And if you got any, I'll pop them in the chat.
I've got two from Patreon. Make sure you guys join patreon.com/kickbomb. So this one's from Mr. Pirate Dancer. Now that we are in autumn/fall, do you guys have any fall things you usually look forward to?
I don't do pumpkin spice.
What? You don't do pumpkin spice?
I had pumpkin pie when I moved to America. Pumpkin pie?
Well, but that's what I'm asking. So when you say you don't do pumpkin spice, does that mean no pumpkin pie? No pumpkin anything?
Oh, the latte.
Yeah, I'll give it a whirl. Maud hates America. Well, Maud's still getting used to it. It's very, very different from where I grew up.
Pumpkin spice donuts? Yes, Jayhawker, totally. Like, because there's a lot of pumpkin spice goodness going on out there. So that's what I'm like. Are you anti all pumpkin spice or just certain things?
I have a question with pumpkin spice.
Got it.
Is there any pumpkin in the spice?
Yes.
Real pumpkin?
I saw very different responses.
Well, I have made pumpkin pie. I have made pumpkin pie, and there is definitely real pumpkin in pumpkin pie. No, and the flavor, but the flavor of pumpkin spice is recreating what the pumpkin pie flavor is.
But is there pumpkin in the spice?
No, I mean, what would you, it's like when something is, I don't know, what other flavor stuff do they have?
What is in the spice? What is in pumpkin spice if there is no pumpkin?
Definitely cinnamon.
Okay.
It's the same flavorings you put in a pumpkin pie. So probably cinnamon, nutmeg, sugar. Like fall flavors. apparently, it's pumpkin-flavored powder.
Okay, okay.
And Adam says cloves, allspice, cinnamon, etc.
Mm-hmm. So pumpkin, like I remember reading Harry Potter and it was
pumpkin beer?
Like, that sounds awful. Because pumpkin isn't sweet in any dish, or like pumpkin is like a squash, so you will roast pumpkin, but it is very much of the savory family, and so it was never sweetened. And so I really struggled kind of like trying to have a whole new sort of palate around a food where I'd only eaten it a particular way. It was savory, it was in soups, it was in roasts, it was very much that. And so hearing like pumpkin spice and pumpkin pie and pumpkin juice, I was like, that sounds like a diet cleanse. That sounds
awful. Here, Goatsmore in chat says cinnamon, nutmeg, ginger, cloves, and sometimes allspice.
So it's like, because we don't, our autumns are backwards. So our autumn is your spring.
Right.
So it's like, that's like another thing. So America has definitely sort of dominated the seasonal effect. So Christmas is winter, and autumn, fall has its own sort of like, you know, purpose in the calendar, where we're flipped upside down and we do things differently. It's an adjustment. Like, we don't have a holiday season because we don't have Thanksgiving.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
You get it?
Yeah, well, and that's why you don't have pumpkin stuff, because pumpkin stuff is traditionally a Thanksgiving thing.
Yeah.
It all makes sense now.
But it's also a fall thing, but our autumn is March, April, May.
So what do you, like, what do you guys do for autumn? Like, what are things you guys look forward to in Australia for autumn?
In autumn, there's just not so much of a difference. It's like, it's still a bit hot. Help me out, Aussies in the chat. What do we do? What do we look forward to? Easter. Easter is autumn. Autumn is Easter. Oh. So chocolate.
Amy's head just exploded.
Yeah. So that's our autumn. Autumn is Easter. Okay, cool. I'm back on track. And then spring is whatever your autumn is. Our spring is, what's that?
August,
September, October, November is spring. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, it's the opposite.
Wow.
Yeah. Amy's mind is straight blown. Yeah, that's why when Nate and I did our New Zealand honeymoon, we went in January.
Stinking hot.
Yeah, because it was real nice there and super cold here. So we did that on purpose. Yeah. It was nice. But yeah, as far as like American fall stuff that I like, pumpkin spice is definitely one of them. But it's like, to me, it's comfort food. Like you're starting to get into comfort food feelings. So like pumpkin pie for sure, red wines, spiced cider. Plus I really like Halloween as someone that likes costumes and dressing up and was always into theater and D&D and cosplay. Halloween is a super fun time. And even though I'm a big scaredy cat about a lot of stuff, I like the like playfully spooky stuff. So like we decorated my house. I've got a giant spider that's motion sensored that when people walk by it starts going ooh and his eyes light up. Logan's terrified of it. We have gargoyles out front of our house, you know, like we did the thing. We are Halloween house, even though we can't do trick-or-treaters because LA County and COVID, but we are very excited and festive nonetheless. Plus it makes me think of like movies like Clue. You know, like whodunit murder mysteries, and I like a lot of that stuff. But in general, it's like the sweltering heat is going away, and now's the time to, like, get cozy with a blanket and have comfort food and that kind of stuff. So that's what I look forward to about fall. Amy?
Yeah, for me, I love candles, and I feel like I have more fun with fall and wintry candles. Like, they're just cozier. I like that. For me, it's like You've Got Mail, One Fine Day. Like those are the movies that I think of when I think of fall. There's that one line in You've Got Mail where Tom Hanks says, "Don't you just love New York in the fall?" I'm like, yeah, I do. It's great. The leaves start to change. It gets cooler. I just love all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, I do like the food. But I think a big part of that is also going out and getting that food because I've realized that now I'm like, nah. Like, I don't know. It feels different, but...
Oh, I gotta give you my pumpkin muffin recipe. I make a good pumpkin muffin. You can make it at home. It's easy.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. That sounds good. I like that.
It's yummy and it's healthy.
If you want me to enjoy Halloween, maybe you guys can get me some chocolate.
Chocolate's exciting.
Just feed me chocolate.
That, you know what? Chocolate makes any season better.
Yeah.
Twitch chat, remember to put some questions in there for Bombs Away.
I gotta stop being so cynical. I really am, and I'm trying to shift my attitude to be more positive. But it's like, I don't know. Everything's like, is this happy for you? And I'm like, no.
But Maude, you're allowed to feel how you feel. That's what makes you you.
Yeah, but like, I'll be a bit more upbeat. Someone's like, what is your favorite holiday? My first reaction was, How bad's that? maybe it'll change if I have kids. Zelda, what's your favorite holiday? Dinner time.
But see, you don't dress Zelda up for every Halloween. If you did, I bet you'd like it more.
She has been a pumpkin. I did a photo shoot last year.
Cute.
She
was a scary pumpkin.
Yeah, she hated it. Hated it. I don't know if she's forgiven. Do you love me?
We. We have this next question, yes, from Patreon, from Sebastian Lacey. What music did you listen to growing up? Any guilty pleasures?
Do you remember your first CDs?
Yes.
Oh, Trish, lay it on me.
Okay, disclaimer, I was never a cool kid. So go into this knowing that. So I like pop. I am unashamed about the fact that I like pop, and I was a Hanson fan for a really long time. I saw them in concert like 4 or 5 times. And even, yes, it was like cool for a hot second to like Hanson. I liked them for like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
So like way beyond when it was a thing. Yeah. And I love their Christmas album. It's also real good. They have a Christmas album. But anyway, I listened to Bubblegum Pop and Show Tunes. So I was the kid with like my Hanson CD and my Rent CD. And it was like one or the other all the time. While everyone else that was in my school was like, oh my God, Dave Matthews Band has a concert coming up. And I was like, don't care. So that's what I listened to. Although my first CDs that I ever owned were Live's Throwing Copper, which is still awesome.
I don't know that one.
Live? Oh, so good. Live's Throwing Copper was one of my first ones. And Jewel's CD. What was the name of that album? I had that
Save Your Soul.
The What If God Was One of Us album, right?
That's not Jewel.
Well, Jewel, what was Jewel's album that I'm thinking of? I know it was Jewel's album. And then I had a Janet Jackson one, but that was just a single.
You could save your soul.
Yeah, Jewel's.
She did that thing before Shakira did it.
Pieces of You. That was the name of that CD. Jewel's Pieces of You album.
I think I remember Live. Live didn't do, like, I think I'm getting them mixed up with, like, all the other Fuel and all those other.
Live did Lightning Crashes. Do you remember Lightning Crashes? Yes. That was Live. Yes.
Yeah, good. Yeah,
those were my first CDs, but it was mostly Hanson and Rent, if we'll be frank.
My first CDs were my 9th birthday, and I got What's the Story, Morning Glory by Oasis, and I got the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack.
Oasis was my first concert.
Whoa.
Cool, right?
Actually, I went, my first concert was a festival that my uncle's band was playing at. And so he goes, you can either get a backstage pass with me, or you could get a ticket and four of your friends or three of your friends can go. And I was like, my friends, please.
That's awesome.
I guess technically they were my first albums, but like that doesn't count. A couple of people are saying that should be it. And it's not.
Oasis was great. Amy?
For me, I really loved the Spice Girls. Oh my God. Yes. My friend and I would even make up dance routines in her room to Spice Girls, obviously.
Were you posh? Baby Spice?
I was not posh. I was baby Spice. Yeah. But there was also, I feel like Avril Lavigne was one of my first CDs, but also fun little story. I loved Eminem since I was like a kid. And my mom got me a CD and I was like so excited. I only knew one song. It was like Cleaning Out My Closet. And I was also turning into like a teenager. And I think those two kind of melded together. My mom was like, you're getting too sassy for this. I think it's a CD. So we're going to get rid of the CD. So we got rid of Eminem. And now here I am. And I still love Eminem's music. And I'm like, wow, that started when I was a kid and has not gone away. So, yeah, but I did have to get rid of my Eminem CD because I got too sassy. Which is funny.
It's so funny. I'm, like, going down memory lane now. I'm, like, I had Green Day's Dookie. I had that album. Yeah. Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah, so did I. 1979.
Mm-hmm.
Free CD disc. It was so good. That was a really good album. We had that on repeat. Jagged Little Pill. Alanis Morissette. High rotation. My goodness.
Mon.
Yes?
You'll like this one. I also had Hilary Duff's CD, Metamorphosis. It was one of my favorite ones.
Ooh.
I know you're Hilary's biggest fan.
I've never heard of this.
You love Lizzie McGuire.
Never seen it.
Okay.
You love it, I know. We've talked about this.
Yep. I've never seen Lizzie McGuire. I don't think I had any interest then. Definitely don't have any interest now. But What was her album? What was the song on that?
Metamorphosis. What wasn't one of them? Metamorphosis. There was like two that came out back to back, and I would just play them constantly. There was that Rain song, and then there was a lot.
Hilary Duff didn't really make it big in Australia. Lizzie McGuire played at 5:30 in the afternoons after school, but like as far as like taking off, like NSYNC didn't really do very big in Australia, but Backstreet
Oh,
Boys did.
my little
Yeah.
sister was so into NSYNC. I was
I love how
NSYNC.
like the hottest guy changed. They
Big
like put
thing.
one guy and then they're like, oh, that was a swing and a miss. Let's push JT now.
Here's a question from Little Weird Guy in Twitch chat. Says, question, dream job as a kid? Mine was being a movie star. It's fueled my entire everything. It's why I moved to LA.
I feel like we spoke about this at Power Down last week. I was going to be an orthodontist. Yeah.
What?
Amy,
Yeah.
dream job as a kid?
It was definitely performing. I performed in front of my mom. She had VIP tickets the entire time. So, yeah, definitely performing.
I wanted to be a model because I was so tall and all of my, like, I was 7 years old and I was like a head taller than all of my friends. And all of my friends' moms would like make me feel better by going, but you're so tall, you're gonna be a model, you're gonna be a model. And I was like, all right, and I'm gonna be a model. And then mom stamped that idea out of me very quick.
Oh
Yeah, in a brutal way as well. Your photographer's gonna try and take advantage of you and put coke up your nose. There's no bloody way you're gonna be a model. And I was like, okay.
no.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, that's
You're
a
gonna have
nice, healthy.
multiple issues, you're gonna be a mess. It's such a dangerous thing. You're too young. Hi, Bubba. You wanna come up here?
Well,
Nope.
that's a healthy dose of realism for you. I see
That's
people
what my
in chat
cynicism comes
saying that
from.
some of their first concerts, people in chat are sharing their dream jobs. I saw Video Game Tester in there. Disco Cobra says stuntman. Awesome. These are all great. So yeah, if you're watching this later on YouTube, make sure you comment below and in live chat. Absolutely. I love reading what everybody else has to say. Humor Jubai says I wanted to design games. Love it.
Oh.
Love it. And it looks like Zelda's coming in to tell us it's time to wrap out the show.
He's so hungry. 5 o'clock is dinner time, so at 5:15, like from 5 o'clock, she just stares at me, stares into my soul. This tummy needs food in it.
Yes. Well, thank you everybody so much for watching this week's Power Up. We told you all the stuff we're playing, watching, and reading. Make sure that you do the same in chat or down below in the comments if you're watching this on YouTube later. And we're gonna go record Power Down, which you can watch by becoming a Patreon on Geek Bomb's Patreon. But thank you all so much for being here. And yeah, I hope you have a great week.
Thanks, guys. See you at Pow Down.
But before we actually go, that's a good, nice ending spot for YouTube. Before we actually go, I do want to say a huge thank you and shout out to everyone who's here watching live. I know we don't have the alerts turned on, but Main Ogre, I saw that resub. Thank you. And Classy Librarian, thank you so much for the raid. Thank you to all the new folks who followed today as well. It looks like we got Foffers, Adventure Time, Unsure Ambivalence, Arson32, Wishamaru, Rinneralithilon. I'm sorry if I totally screwed that up. Ice Pilot 09, Sirens Call 77, Wisniewski, Solo Flight, Fogman, and The Cool is how I'm gonna say your name. The Nathaniel Hartman, Nuge Fireball, Rashido Gray, thank you for the host, and Maku, thank you for the resub right then in there at the end. And so thanks for the show and Amy's silent reactions. Apparently, Amy's got some killer facial expressions, so you know, that's why you come to Power Up. So yeah, thank you guys so much for watching, and we'll see you soon. The next time that I will be live is tomorrow. I'm gonna try to squeeze in a Baldur's Gate stream. How about for you, Maud and Amy? When are you gonna be live next?
If not tonight, then tomorrow. I'm gonna be streaming a lot because of Baldur's Gate. I'm like really, really into it.
Awesome.
At Geek Bomb, give it a follow.
Sorry, the delay is weird. I'm streaming definitely tonight after we're done recording Power Down. I might try another round of Friday the 13th, the game, or Outlast, perhaps.
Ooh,
I
Outlast is scary.
hated
Yeah.
it.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I enjoyed this as well because, you know, it was fun. How long will Amy outlast playing Outlast?
You'll do great. I had to play it for SourceFed Nerd with all the lights off in a room by myself.
Yeah, that's how I did it. It was awful. It fucked me up. I hated it.
Ronnie is awesome. Thank you for the follow. And Terry, how are you? Thank you for the resub. I appreciate it. All right, guys. Have a great rest of your week. If you are available to watch some live stuff later, make sure you watch Amy and Maude on their streams if they're streaming later tonight. And otherwise, I'll see y'all tomorrow. Bye, everybody.